Welcome to this edition of Hard Talk, recorded on Monday the 6th of November from the BBC World Service with me, Stephen Sacker. My guest today is a Palestinian doctor whose determination to make a difference for his people saw him move away from full-time medicine into civil society activism and politics. Mustafa Barghouti co-founded the Palestinian Medical Relief Committees, and in 2002 he created a new political movement, the Palestinian National Initiative. Barghouti ran for president of the Palestinian Authority in 2005. He got 20% of the vote, but was soundly defeated by one of the architects of the Oslo peace process, Mahmoud Abbas. In the two decades since then, the Palestinian experience has been bleak. Israel's politics has moved far to the right. Jewish settlements on occupied land have expanded. Palestinian politics has been marked by division and disarray. And now, of course, there is a horrifying war sparked by Hamas's murderous assault on southern Israel, which killed more than 1,400 men, women and children, and which prompted an Israeli offensive in Gaza, which has now killed more than 10,000 people, according to the Hamas-run health ministry in Gaza. The immediate focus is on the catastrophic humanitarian situation inside Gaza, but already diplomats and politicians are eyeing a much longer-term challenge. When this terrible round of violence does eventually end, what then for the Palestinian people? Well, Mustafa Barghouti joins me now on the line from Ramallah. Welcome to Hard Talk.
Thank you. Good to be with you again, Stephen.
It's good to talk to you. You, of course, are a medical doctor. You have many colleagues in Gaza. Communication is very difficult. But does it seem to you right now that there is any semblance of a functioning medical and humanitarian system left inside Gaza?
No, the situation in Gaza is absolutely drastic. It's a huge humanitarian crisis because not only of the Israeli siege on Gaza, but also of this terrible bombardment. We've lost up to now more than 10,000 people who were killed by Israeli airstrikes and bombardment. We've lost 6,000 children. 6,000 children, Stephen. Nothing can justify that. But on top of that, Israel is depriving Gaza from fuel, from electricity, from food, from water, and from medications. We have 17 medical teams working there around the clock. They do their best, but they tell me that the situation is intolerable. First of all, we have more than 130 children in incubators who could die at any moment because of lack of electricity. We have about 1,130 people in need for kidney dialysis, and probably some of them have already died because there is no dialysis for them. 32 children of those could die also. I was told by our teams that they had to conduct something they never thought they would ever do, which is to do surgical operations without anesthesia. They had to operate on people on staircases because of the huge number of people injured and killed. We're talking about 37,000 people in 1 month between being killed or injured. And about 27,000 of them are injured who cannot receive proper treatment because of lack of oxygen, lack of electricity. And Israel continues to say it will not stop their bombardment and they will not allow a single drop of fuel to these hospitals. Already 16 of our hospitals in Gaza stopped working because of lack of fuel. And what you see here is a combination of genocide, collective punishment, and an act of ethnic cleansing where 1.4 million people have been forced out of their homes and were forced to evict their homes.
You lay out what is happening. You know very well that Israel entirely refutes your characterization of what it is doing. As far as Israel is concerned, this is an act of self-defense following the murderous assault of October 7th. But there's one particular point I want to ask you. Benjamin Netanyahu said a couple of days ago, the only circumstance in which Israel will contemplate a pause in its military operation in Gaza is if Hamas agrees to unconditionally release the more than 200 hostages it is holding. As a doctor, would you say to Hamas today, release those people to give the people of Gaza a chance?
Well, look, I don't believe Netanyahu. I think Netanyahu is not only a war criminal today, but also a pathological liar. And he's lying again. His real goal is not to release the prisoners. His real goal is really to ethnically cleanse all of the people in Gaza, and I can prove that. But Hamas has already declared that they are ready to release the 50 civilians and those with dual nationality immediately if Israel stops attacking, if there is a ceasefire. And then I think after the ceasefire, there can be exchange of prisoners, because it is important for the audience to know that Israel is withholding already 5,300 Palestinian prisoners, and they added to them since the 7th of October 2,200 more Palestinians imprisoned, including 200 children. I think you can call these 200 Palestinian children in Israeli jails as also hostages. So what we need is exchange of prisoners so that all Israeli prisoners can come home safely, and Palestinian prisoners as well can go home. And some of them have been in Israeli jails for 44 years.
Yeah.
Many of them are under the so-called administrative detention, which means they are in jail without knowing why.
Yeah.
But let me say that Netanyahu, in my opinion, doesn't care about Israeli prisoners. And because of that, he continues the bombardment, which has already killed 60 Israeli prisoners. Why doesn't he stop? Why can't we have a ceasefire so this atrocity could stop, so the killing of children would stop and the killing of women would stop?
I note that you call them prisoners, not hostages. You essentially accept Hamas's figures when it comes to the casualties, and there's no way the rest of us can check, but those are the figures that come out of the Hamas-run health ministry. As the co-founder of the Palestinian National Initiative, a man who wanted to move beyond the old politics dominated by Fatah and Hamas in the Palestinian territories, do you reach out to Hamas today? Do you have any contact with them since October 7th?
We don't have direct contact, but we've expressed our views and we were listened to. When a stupid mistake was made by somebody declaring that hostages will be killed, we immediately interacted and expressed our opinion that this is unacceptable, and they retracted from that, which is good. But more than that, we also expressed our opinion that all civilians must be released, and they responded positively. They say they are ready to release all the civilian prisoners. All they need is immediate ceasefire. And by the way, Stephen, just to clarify about the issue of figures, Mr. Biden, the president of the United States, in my opinion, hurt his credibility by repeating the lie of Netanyahu, who said that the numbers are incorrect. The Ministry of Health has issued a statement with the names of every victim and their ID number and their birth date. So these are correct numbers when we speak about 10,000 Palestinians killed and 4,800 recorded Palestinian children killed, and there are 1,200 missing.
Yeah.
So the figures are absolutely correct.
You will have seen, just as I did, that a few days ago, Ghazi Hamad, a very important spokesman for Hamas in Lebanon, he said this, referring to October 7th and what Hamas calls the Al-Aqsa flood operation. He said, that was just the first. We know we're going to have to pay a price. We're ready to pay it. We are a nation of martyrs. We're proud to sacrifice martyrs. He said, we are the victims of occupation, and therefore nobody can blame us for the things we do, whether it be October 7, October 10th, or October 1 million. Everything we do is justified. You're not Hamas. What do you make of statements like that made many days after the barbaric acts we saw on October 7?
Even you know me as an advocate of nonviolence. I believe that nonviolence is the best way of achieving our goals, but I believe in our right to resist and struggle for our rights to be free from occupation, to be free from the system of apartheid.
But with respect, this is war crimes.
If you allow me to continue, please. Look, I don't want any Palestinian or Israeli killed, but the facts are the facts today. The facts are that history did not start on the 7th of October. And everything we've seen is a result of a continuous Israeli military occupation of Palestinian land since 56 years. 70% of the people of Gaza are refugees who were ethnically cleansed by Israel in 1948. And these refugees were attacked one time after the other. Six wars. Israel has conducted actually seven wars on these refugees in Gaza. For how long? And what would the war bring us? It's there because the Palestinian issue was never resolved. We thought we will have a Palestinian state and the world turned their back to us. We thought that peaceful negotiations will bring us to a solution and the world did not do anything. They allowed Israel to be impunitive. They allowed Israel to be above international law. They allowed Israel to conduct not only the longest military occupation in human in modern history, but also to establish a system of apartheid. And now Palestinians are attacked not only in Gaza, but also in the West Bank. In the West Bank, we already had 154 Palestinians killed by Israeli settlers and Israeli army.
Dr. Barghouti, I promise you, I want to talk to you more about the West Bank because you're sitting in the West Bank. But just to finish on this thought about Gaza, because Gaza is where hundreds of thousands of civilians are suffering right now. I want one more time to ask you what you can say to me about Hamas, an organization which, of course, in countries like the UK is proscribed as a terrorist organization, but what you can say about a group which, according to Gershon Baskin, who I believe you know, he's a long-time peace activist in Israel who has over years developed a dialogue with Hamas, which is something in Israel hugely controversial. He has said in an open letter just a couple of days ago, he said he can no longer contemplate talking to his former contacts in Hamas, and he said directly to them, he said, "You built tunnels and bunkers for your own people, but not one single shelter for the ordinary people of Gaza. You and your friends in Hamas have brought the Palestinian cause back 75 years. You and your friends are directly responsible for the tragedy that is happening to your people today." Would you quarrel?
That
would you quarrel with any of
incorrect.
That?
Well, Mr. Baskin, I think, is totally wrong. He's just simply blaming the victims. You always blame the victims, the Palestinians. Are we responsible for the fact that Israel ethnically cleansed us in 1948, forcing 70% of the Palestinian population out of Palestine? Are we responsible for the fact that because of Balfour Declaration, Israel initiated a system of a settler colonial system displacing Palestinians? Are we responsible for the fact that Israel has occupied us? We are responsible for the fact that Israeli army and Israeli troops have killed up till now 120,000 Palestinians. Are we responsible for the fact that Israel has conducted 1 million arrests against the Palestinian population, which is no more than 5 million people? Look, Stephen, today what is happening is three war crimes: genocide, collective punishment, and ethnic cleansing. Anybody who supports the continuation of this war and does not support immediate ceasefire for the sake of both Palestinians and Israelis is simply not only complicit with the war crimes, but a participant in them. That is the real truth. You know that there was a child, the youngest child killed in Gaza was 1 day old. His death certificate was issued before his birth certificate. Let me tell you one more thing. The families now in Gaza write the names of their children on their bodies. In case they will be killed, they will be recognized. Do you know that families now in Gaza exchange their children? One family gives a child to another family and they exchange them just in case the whole family would be eliminated by Israeli airstrikes. Do you know that 966 Palestinian families have already been erased completely from the civil record? What is happening is genocide. Nobody should support that. You cannot blame Palestinians for being oppressed by Israelis.
You've characterized what you believe is happening in Gaza, and the statistics on the death toll are, to any mind, horrifying. But let us just talk about what is likely to be the end result here. A Gaza which has been reduced to rubble, a huge death toll, and a Gaza where Hamas's capacity has been, well, the Israelis say, will be eliminated. It will certainly be massively degraded. What then? Who is going to run Gaza after the fighting finally stops? It's possible Israel will keep its troops there. Biden said reoccupation would be, quote, a big mistake. Others in the US administration have said they want, quote, an effective, revitalized Palestinian Authority to have governance in Gaza. But many people don't regard the Palestinian Authority as credible. So I'm asking you, as a third-party politician, not tied to Hamas, not tied to the PA or to Fatah, what do you believe can be the outcome for Gaza?
Very simple. First of all, Gaza cannot be separated from the West Bank. The whole world talks about two-state solution. So naturally, Gaza should be part of the Palestinian state if the Israelis, of course, agree to remove all their settlements and settlers from the West Bank, which are illegal by international law. But let me also tell you, what is the real goal of Netanyahu? I mean, what does he prepare for Gaza? Netanyahu had one plan, which is to evict everybody to Egypt. He couldn't do that because the Egyptians said no, and the Palestinians said, we will not become refugees again, and we will stay on our land. Now he's conducting a different kind, Plan B, which is to evict everybody from the northern part of Gaza and Gaza City, and then reoccupy them. He wanted to reoccupy Gaza completely, but without the Palestinian people there. That's what many Israeli officials are saying. This is the Israeli solution, the final solution to Gaza problem. What does Netanyahu do? He knows that the number of Palestinians today in Gaza, West Bank, and inside in 1948 areas are equal, if not a little bit more, than Israeli Jewish people. His formula is to change this demographic situation by ethnic cleansing of all the population of Gaza. So he cannot reoccupy Gaza and keep the people there. He knows that. That's why his real plan is ethnic cleansing. And he doesn't want to bring neither the Palestinian Authority nor any other authority. And the Israeli spokesperson yesterday said you've made the charges about
ethnic cleansing several times, Dr. Barghouti. I can assure you, we talk to Israelis. We press Israelis just as we press Palestinians on what comes next. So perhaps we need to move on, and I need to ask you about the West Bank. You said earlier the violence in the West Bank since October 7th has spiraled. We've seen more than 100 Palestinians killed since October 7th. Ghassan Khatib, who I'm sure you know, a former PA official, says that right now he believes that if there were to be an election tomorrow across the Palestinian territories, including the West Bank, Hamas would sweep to power. Now, you are a man of non-violence. Does it worry you that in the Palestinian communities of the West Bank right now, it seems that those who advocate violence are in the ascendant?
I don't agree with this estimation, by the way, because I know the polls and I've seen them. And had we have elections in 2021, we would have had a situation where neither Hamas nor Fatah would have had an absolute majority. We would have had a pluralistic democratic system, and that's what we can have now.
Well, with the greatest of respect, if you read the polls like I do, you'll know that the credibility of the Palestinian Authority amongst the Palestinian people who live in communities like yours in Ramallah is at rock bottom. And we've seen the crowds on the streets in recent days criticizing Mahmoud Abbas and the Palestinian Authority and demanding resistance in the style of Hamas.
And rightly so, because of his passivity.
Really?
Because of the passivity of the Palestinian Authority, which should have played a different kind of role, unifying all Palestinians and insisting on our right of a democratic system. But let me tell you, don't mix up between people's support to their demand of freedom and independence and to get rid of occupation and the system of apartheid and their right to resist that in every possible way and supporting a particular faction or another. People are fed up with occupation, fed up with oppression. Even in the West Bank, which is not governed by Israel, as you know, what do we see? Israeli settlers attacking us, terrorizing us, shooting people and killing them. In one village called Qusra near Nablus, the settlers came to the village, killed three people. Then the Israeli army came and killed a fourth person. Next morning, when the people were having a funeral of these four people, the Israeli settlers attacked again and killed two more people, a father and a son. The settlers' terror has already evicted 35 Palestinian communities in the West Bank from their villages.
As a medical doctor, as a longtime humanitarian, as an advocate in politics of non-violence, you do not want to see the West Bank become another war front after Gaza. I'm just on a personal level. I'm just going to ask you a very simple question. I'm going to quote to you from a young man who is in the Lion's Den armed militia in the West Bank, who said after October 7th, this was part of a Lion's Den statement, he said, "We call for a mass mobilization in support of the Al-Aqsa flood," that is the Hamas operation. "We want people to take up arms immediately, prepare Molotov cocktails, knives, and explosive devices. Don't wait for settlers to attack your village. Stand up as one man and attack them." If you were faced with a young man like that today, how would you try to persuade that young man that violence was not the right answer?
I would be easily capable of convincing him with that if I convince him that that nonviolence is another form of resistance. You see, the question here is that these young people are told you don't have the right to resist in principle. You have to submit to Israeli occupation and submit to Israeli oppression. And that's what they do, refuse, and I refuse. These young people have been deprived of any possibility of looking into the future. These young people have been left unemployed, oppressed, occupied. They've seen their fathers and uncles and grandfathers shot and killed by the Israeli army in different occasions. They've seen the Israeli settlers stealing their land and preventing them even from harvesting their olive trees. They've seen oppression after oppression. Every country in the world that was colonized and was oppressed had the right to resist occupation and resist apartheid.
After everything that has happened since October 7th and everything you have described to me, can you, in all honesty, imagine a time when you and your children and your grandchildren will live in peaceful coexistence side by side with Jewish Israelis in either a one-state or a two-state solution? Can you imagine it?
Absolutely. And I don't only imagine it. I believe in it and I work for it. And I tell you again, as I said before many times, Israel has one of two options, either to evacuate their settlers from the West Bank and allow Palestinians to have a state of their own, including West Bank, Gaza, and East Jerusalem, and arrange for the return of the Palestinian refugees, or we should live in one democratic state where we all have equal rights, Jewish and Palestinian people. But what they want is to ethnically cleanse us and have Palestine all by themselves. And that's the law that Israel passed in the parliament, which says that the right of self-determination in the so-called Eretz Israel, meaning all of historical Palestine, is exclusive for Jewish people. That's the root problem which we have to deal with. If we remove that racism, we can easily live and coexist with each other, as we did before the rise of the Zionist movement.
We have to end. Dr. Mustafa Barghouti, I thank you very much for joining me on Hard Talk.
Thank you so much.